Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Woo! The King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, and today we choose to set that scrum 10 metres from the sideline, a slightly more conservative option, but one I like for the shape of this afternoon. My name's Tony Squires. Emma Lawrence and Ryan Girdler are with me right now. We'll soon have Mark Guy with us as well on a huge show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Tony? Hey, Em.
Very well, Em. You well? Yeah. I mean, it's been a long week, hasn't it? When we sat here just 7 days ago looking at the shape of the world, it has shifted somewhat dramatically. How has your week been?
It has been an incredibly busy week, and things were changing by the day, even by the hour, whether it went from no crowds to were the Warriors staying, were we going to cancel the season altogether?
Yep.
If the AFL cancelled theirs, would we cancel ours? So it was a very interesting week, and I think the NRL have done a great job. They've been transparent and kept us up to date along the way. So never thought I'd have a week like that in my journalism career, but it's a very interesting time we're in.
Got to say, like, Tone, you know, happy for the game to continue on, and we know what that means from a financial perspective and from a self-interest perspective as well. I mean, we're all here working, so, you know, hopefully those invoices will get serviced at some point. But, I mean, is it socially irresponsible to continue playing? I mean, you've got to hope that the people making decisions in there at the NRL who are aligned with, you know, the government officials that are handing over the information needed to make these decisions are going to get it right. But I guess at some point we will all find out whether this was the right rein to pull or not. But, I mean, at least Pete Vallandy's in there. He's happy to make a call. It's good. There's no sitting on the fence.
No, he's tough.
And he seems to have the support of all the clubs at the moment. And I'm sure the fans are enjoying just a little bit of relief and getting their rugby league on their Thursday, Friday, Saturdays and Sundays.
Absolutely. And I want to dig in greater detail and deeper on rugby league, the game, and where it is and how it works as a spectatorless sport at the ground, because we've had now a few examples of that. I'm going to get to all that when MG joins us in a minute. But you talk about social responsibility, and I'd have to confess that this was yesterday. I went to a pub near my house late in the afternoon, and I was, you know, had been set up for a little while. I was having to meet up with somebody. And so there I turned up, and it was terrific. There was virtually nobody there for the first half hour. Suddenly people poured in, a late Friday afternoon, a Sydney pub. Now, I started to think, is this what should be happening? Should I be here? Should we all be here gathered together going, let's just fight on? Then I looked across and saw at the bar an elderly gent who had assisted breathing apparatus on his nose, sitting at the bar with two schooners in front of him. And I'm thinking, are we supposed to say, well done, buddy, fight on? Or is this completely irresponsible? There were thousands of people at Bondi Beach. Is that right? Is that wrong? Is that Australia's going, nah, you can't knock us off? Or is it something that says, well, you know what, this is going to kick you all in the backside?
Well, I have to admit, Tony, I also went to a pub yesterday afternoon to meet a friend. However, there were not many people in that pub and we just had some lunch, had a drink and then went home. But I think, look, you can't completely, unless they get to the point where they are saying it's a complete lockdown and everyone stays at home, we can all limit interaction with others. But unless the government are enforcing a complete lockdown, someone can go to a pub, you can go to the beach, so you can't completely eliminate. That was Wendell. Wendell kissed me. I did not kiss Wendell.
I think, Tony, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, but everyone just needs to take a little precaution, don't they, for the good of their family and, I guess, society and the like. And if you can, you know, some people, you know, if your place of business is open and you need to go to work to pay the bills, I get it. You know, you roll the dice a little bit. But in relation to going, and I own cafes, you know, but in relation to putting yourself in an environment that can be avoided, like the beaches, like pubs, like cafes and restaurants, unfortunately, I think people just need to start making better. It's not a joke.
No.
And that part of it all, to me, just reeks of you know, the Australian way of, oh, it'll be okay to be okay. Well, maybe it will be okay, but just in case it's not, just make better decisions that are going to be better for you and your family potentially in the long run. It's not a big sacrifice, no. Is it?
How
I mean,
has
you
it been
go to Bondi Beach yeah. any day of the year if you like.
Gee, it was 36 degrees yesterday.
It was hot. I get that.
But
get
workplaces that. Are doing everything possible. I know at Channel 10, every floor basically is working from home except for the newsroom where yep. reporters obviously have to be out and about still reporting on the coronavirus. They're having only one reporter per row, so everyone's spaced out. Even on the news desk, you can't sit next to each other. You're in separate spots in the studio. So, and I know a lot of yeah. employees are doing that as well.
Well, we can find out what it's like in the heart of Penrith because Mark Geyer joins us right here, right now. G'day, MG.
Hello, Tony and Gerds and Em.
Hello, Marcus.
Good. How's it struck you?
Well, it's just every day is different, isn't it? You're waking up and it's the first thing you think about. You're going to bed. It's the last thing you're thinking about. And yep. having a cruise ship with 2,700 people docking sitting this morning with no testing doesn't help the pandemonium.
Have they been allowed off they're the
off.
Boat?
Yeah,
they're off and in the city.
Off. Yes, yes.
That's unbelievable.
It's look, it's
was this the same? But sorry, MG, just to clarify, this is the boat that went had a short trip towards New Zealand. I understand.
Yep.
Came back. They thought there was low risk, but I think there were three cases on board that boat
yeah,
of coronavirus. Of
you know what, Tony? If I'm on that, they ask people if they had flu-like symptoms, and of course, if you're on a boat and you're thinking about your family and you're thinking about your job, and people say, "Look, how are you feeling, mate? I'm great. Yeah, I'm fine."
Yep.
As Gerge has said, it's about self-responsibility. 95% of the population are doing the right thing. 5% who aren't are going to cripple us. It's no joke anymore. We've got to adhere to everything they're telling us to do. We've got to self-isolate. We've got to bunker down for 2 weeks if you've got to. Like this is no joke anymore. I'm not trying to alarm anyone, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous like everybody. I've just opened up a gym in Penrith that, you know, I've got to adhere to really strict rules and make sure that everyone's got hand sanitizer and people are doing it hard at the moment. There's people are a lot worse off than we are at the moment. And they've got a, you know, mortgage and shit to pay. And it's irresponsible acts like this cruise ship and having 2,500 people just wandering the streets of Sydney who might be affected. That's when it gets a little bit.
Absolutely. And MG, you said that. I mean, you see the people in the photographs of those on Bondi Beach yesterday, and look, the most of them are young, fit people, and they're probably thinking, you know what, I'll get it, doesn't matter. But it's the spread of this virus to those who are in that sweet spot for where it really does mean a hell of a lot more than, you know, having to have a couple of days off.
It's kids with asthma, Tone.
Yep.
People don't realise kids with asthma and diabetes, they're all high risk.
It's the elderly as well, Tone. Is it socially responsible to continue on in this way if there's the elderly at risk and there's no vaccine for it at this point?
Yeah, no, that is the big question.
You got to think about your parents? I mean, you got to think about your community.
Yep.
It's just not about being cool and going to the beach and saying, you know, flipping the bird to this potentially, you know, deadly virus. I mean, just have a little bit of accountability and show some responsibility,
yeah. Absolutely. We do the show thanks to King G. King G, where comfort is king. And we are going to talk some footy because football is being played. And we're going to get your take a little bit later on 133353 and the takes of these learned people in the studio about how the game looks in its new measure. Do you enjoy the fact that your concentration on the hard hits, you can hear everything that's going on the field? There's some fascination about what's going on. I want to get your thoughts on how well that can work for the rest of the season, if indeed. Is there already an asterisk next to season 2020. All of those things are things that we can dig deep in. We'll also get Sterlo's thoughts at 2 o'clock. I do want to, though, look at that scoreboard thanks to Tyre Power and just tell you what's happened so far. 22-16, the Broncos over the Rabbitohs. We're going to have a chat with Scott Drinkwater tonight, this afternoon as well. The Panthers and the Dragons, pretty good game of footy. Dragons didn't get there, though. Started terribly, finished terribly. Middle was okay. It was 32 points to 28 to the Panthers. And in the other game, the Cowboys too good for the Bulldogs, 24-16. As I said, King G, help us out across this afternoon. We're hoping you will as well as we stick around for the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon as we turn our attention to some footy or how it looks at the moment and how it will look moving forward. Peter Volandis has, as the chair of the ARL Commission, he hasn't really, he's got a lot of support with the way he has kind of brutally head-on attacked this thing. He's a guy who likes to see things get done, and he likes to be hands-on when that happens. And there's been a lot of credit given to him. Now, we spoke last week about the need for the government to look towards rugby league and maybe help out. It's one of those industries that is huge. We know it employs a lot of people. He says it's also important on the level of a balm for wounded people. Those people are at home and are concerned. They want something like rugby league, a game that they can kind of drift off and think about something else rather than the darkness of the day. He also, I just want you to have a little listen to what Peter Vellante's had to say in his most recent media conference.
The whole survival of our game is at risk. Some of the consequences are catastrophic. With that, in order to have the game viable, we need to play every game, and we need to play the final series, and we need to play the State of Origin series. We will introduce a self-isolation program. The details of that self-isolation program will be worked out with the clubs and the players, taking into account the biosecurity and pandemic experts' advice.
All right, there's some stuff to unpack there. That's Peter Vellante's, as we mentioned, not least the isolation element of it. The notion that every game needs to be played, Orange needs to be played, the final series as it stands need to be played, you think that's a little bit of wishful thinking in the current situation?
Yes, and I think the NRL know that it will come a point where perhaps they have to postpone or even cancel a couple of rounds. But basically, Todd Greenberg and Peter Vellante said they are prepared to play all the way up until the end of December. They're capping it at that calendar year. So if they have to, when the spread of the virus gets worse in, say, the sort of May mark, if they have to postpone a couple of rounds, they're prepared to put those back until December. And it all comes down to finances, because the game doesn't have a lot of money in the bank for a rainy day. So yep, because in order to satisfy the needs of the broadcast deal, so the players don't have to take pay cuts, so the clubs can survive, they need to play as many games as possible. But they can afford to cut out a couple of rounds. They're not, the game is not going to go completely broke from cutting out a couple of rounds.
What is it, $25 million a week, though, they get paid from broadcasters?
Yeah, so they will lose a lot of money. And even from having no crowds at the games, the clubs are losing a lot of money every week. And at that press conference, Vellante did say they have advised the clubs to make savage cuts to their operations. And he said, I don't want to alarm everyone, not saying that means getting rid of staff members just yet, but at least making cuts across their operations. So they're trying to get the clubs to cut costs, avoid having to get the players to take pay cuts and not being able to satisfy all of their arrangements with the current broadcast deal. But let's be honest, the chances of them playing every single game are probably slim.
Yep. Pay cuts for players, MG, you think they have to just be part of the process?
I think they've got to mirror society tone. I think, you know, just because they're brave. Let's put on the table that they're brave at the moment. For the only two comps in the world, I think, are playing sport, of the AFL and the NRL.
Yeah, the A-League, that's right. Yep.
A-Leagues, mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I think Vellante is the right man for the job. I think what he's done is he's acted stoic, in a stoic manner. I just feel this looming inevitability of doom. It's we're going to get all excited about what was, because I must admit, watching the Cowboys and Doggies on Thursday night, I kind of watched it and I went, yeah, bizarro, yes. But I warmed to it. Then I watched the Panthers and Dragons. We called that game on Friday night. I went, okay, this is, I'm warming to this. And then last night's Broncos and Rabbitohs game, I'm thinking, okay, I could get really used to watching this with no crowd, and the play's good. The game seems to be faster. There's no wrestle. Doesn't seem to be as much wrestle. The crowd has no impact on what's happening on the ground. So it's almost a better product to watch at the minute. But I just fear this looming inevitability that it's going to be taken away from me as soon as I get to fall back in love with it. It's because of the virus. And it's something that I think we're all all mindful of. But, yeah, look, Vellante's has been fantastic in this. And the players, as far as getting paid, well, if they're playing, they get paid. If they don't, most people in society, they don't get paid.
I just wonder what the information is that we're receiving, or the Australian government are receiving, that all the other officials around the world we're ignoring, or they're not receiving. I just don't understand how, and that's just the curiosity in me, I guess, as a, you know, and running my own business and just watching, you know, all the different industries around and how it's affecting everyone. I just don't understand what information that, you know, and I wish someone could clarify, oh, look, you know, the data's, you know, the information's been around now because, you know, the China were hit in November and then, you know, we've had Italy and Spain hit in January. So we've got a certain amount of information now that we know that self-isolating doesn't work or these lockdowns don't work or, you know, we can continue playing sport because it hasn't made any difference. I'm just baffled at you know, the government's decisions just to allow, you know, us to continue going in the way.
Yeah, well, at the moment, though, what the Rugby League is doing is playing within the structures that the government has set in place. The government, obviously, through the chief medical officer, who there's a network of those around the world, so they're giving that advice. So at some point, I guess you have to go, okay, well, we trust the chief medical officer, therefore the government is putting those... Well, as soon as what the government says, you know, at the moment, what is it, 4 square metres for each person, you know, outside, you know, or inside a venue. As soon as there's something that says that the rugby league game cannot work within that structure, then it has to stop. So I guess at the moment, it's putting your faith in that, and that's
all we can do.
Philandes keeps saying that they're going to continue to get advice from the medical officers, and as long as they say they can play, they're going to continue playing. And in fact, the irony is that if the players are self-isolating and doing their very best to stay away from everyone else in society, they actually have less chance. Yep. Of
private planes, all of that.
Contracting all of it. So by continuing to play, sure, they're getting sweaty, sure, they're tackling each other and all of that, but they're limiting their contact with the outside world. So, in fact, they now have less chance of
It's just a really bizarre optic, isn't it? Most people would have seen the photograph after that Bulldogs game the next day, and we see that bench, and each of those players is sitting 1.5 metres apart. The chairs are lined up with distance between them. And then the inset photograph is them when they've run on the field, you know, hugging and celebrating a try. So it's that whole idea of what's the real, you know, what are you supposed to do and what message does it send? There are a whole range of different things. The game, though, I agree with you, MG. It was so, I guess because of the way that it's shot in rugby league, it's quite close. You don't actually see a lot of the crowd, the empty crowd. Whereas in the AFL, with the ball in the air, all you see is empty seats, basically. It looks much, much worse. The NRL, that looks pretty good.
Do you think they've changed the wrestling, MG, as you mentioned before, just to limit contact within the clubs? They've sent out no wrestling boys. I mean, you know, limit the contact.
I think what's happening, Gerds, is the players can now hear the refs better. And I think... look, with that crowd, I suppose it's, you know, especially big crowds. Like last night and Suncorp would have been 40,000 people there. So when the referee's yelling out, you know, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough, I believe the players when they say, I didn't hear. I couldn't hear. But now they've got no excuse for that because I'm hearing the referee from our headphones when we're calling the game. I'm hearing it from the TV monitor when I'm watching it on TV. So the players must be hearing exactly what the referee's saying. And I think it's a quicker game. I think that... Or even just watch, even by timing it, you know, the Thursday night game, it usually goes for, you know, 2.5 hours. I think it went for 2 hours. So everything's quicker and there's less video ref was involved in the last couple of games. I'm the product at the moment I'm warming to. At first I thought, no chance. How can you play rugby league and don't get me wrong, I think there's probably 10% or maybe even 15% of physicality lacking from the game. I know we're hearing hits and they sound big, but that's because there is no external type of sound. So, but I'm enjoying it. I'm hopeful that it. Look, if Philandes pulls this off and we see a full season, well, man, he's man of the year.
In terms of the restrictions, it makes sense that you're trying to keep outsiders away from the play. So all of the interviews done on the sideline, they had to be 2 metres away. During the week when we're going to press conferences, we had to be 2 metres away. Some clubs even did video conferences, so we weren't actually there. And I know when I was at the Tigers during the week, even, you know, I needed to go to the bathroom. So I said, oh, can I just duck in to use the bathroom? And they said, no. I wasn't allowed in to the club because no outsiders were allowed in.
To be fair, that's not a new measure.
That's for a key thing.
Besides toilet paper would be adult nappies when they're taken. I wanted an adult nappy to wear.
Absolutely. When you went to the pub, just remind me, was it a date or were you...
The pub? It was not a date. It was with my friend Kate. Kate Carr from Fox Sports.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Kate.
All right. Okay, we want to get your take across the afternoon, what you think of the game without you, the fans. I don't think MG is saying the game's a better product without you people, but certainly it's a product that I think we can grow to love if it will continue across the this season. Next, though, we're going to talk specifically about some footy, the Broncos and the Rabbitohs, 22-16 to the Broncos. We'll get there next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Mark Guy, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. That Tyre Power scoreboard, the Broncos over the Rabbitohs, 22 points to 16. In front of, as we know, a locked-out stadium. Could have been 40,000 people, but no. And the result, a good one for the Broncos. Some great touches. Katoni Staggs is this. You said it last week, Ryan Girdler. Katoni Staggs, did you say Origin? Is that the words you said?
Yeah, look, I think he'll be pushing for a centre spot in the Origin, yeah. I love the way that he plays. I love, everyone talks about his attack defensively. He's super aggressive. He's really strong. He's got a great physique. And we saw last night what he can do with the football. Does it, and in the centres, and it'll come back obviously to the Latrell discussion at some point. You don't get a lot of opportunities in the centres these days. You do a lot of running from dummy half, yeah, and then generally you're sort of waiting out there for the ball to come your way when you're in opposition territory, which is where you want the football, and he's new to his position, so he's not a guy out there that's overcalling. He might only get two or three opportunities a half to do something, to create an opportunity, and I like the fact that he gets early ball because the guys just know they need to get it in his hands. He doesn't wait for a set piece or an opportunity created by someone else, and he just burns people with just power and speed, and he did it three times last night, and there's not a lot of guys in our game put in those situations that would have scored in those positions. And a guy with, you know, that much talent at Origin level, I mean, that's a real asset to have. James Roberts a couple of years ago was the kind of guy they just threw the football to, not so much in the last couple of seasons. This guy's going to be someone that Freddie's definitely going to look at going into the series. I don't know whenever the hell that's going to be played, by the way.
No, I think none of us knows that exactly, do they? It's the forward pack, and I think they got over the top of South City, and that's, I guess, a question mark about South at the moment. Their back line looks great. It is that forward pack. But for the Broncos, some of them, they're working class names. We haven't had a lot of them. They're also struggling with injuries, yet they're getting the job done, MG.
Yeah, Alex Glenn, Tavita Pengai Jr., Offen Ngawi, all were out. Lodge out with injury. We're talking about, and I'm one with Gerds, I think Katoni Staggs, if Origin does eventually find us this year, that he will be definitely in the side. He's man. He's gone next level this year. He's bulked up. He looks like he's faster. And other teams should take a leaf out of what the Broncos are doing by getting their superstar center this quick ball. Other teams seem to be going to the line too far. You know, Dragons did it. Lafay was unsighted last night for the Dragons, who's potentially a game breaker. You got to get him early ball, but I love the way they did it. The last night, look, if we're talking about New South Wales, let me give Queensland a hand. Flegler must play Origin, and Carrigan must play Origin. The young captain of the Broncos, what a level-headed kid he is. What a player he's become. Just the Broncos in the space of 6 months, what a difference they are. You know, young Jamil Hopewadi. Not much of him as far as height and size goes, but my goodness, the guy just went all night last night. He tackled his butt off. He's a strong runner of the ball, and Seibold has got this team poised at the moment. They're looking like they're going to have something really strong to contribute to this season. If you know when eventually we get to the semi-finals and grand finals, because they look like they're top notch at the moment, the Bronx.
And they're not. They're still such a young side. There are not many players that have played over 50 first grade games up against that South side that has quite a few rep players or senior players in it as well. Even on their bench on debut, Ethan Bullimore, even Herbie Farnworth, he's only played four or so games of first grade. So their bench, barely any experience. Reece Kennedy, only 10 or 11 games of first grade as well. So to think the caliber of players they're missing and what Seibold has been able to do. They will, though, have a few headaches next week because Brody Croft has an AC joint injury, so that's his shoulder. Mm-hmm. Probably will miss next week. So Tom Dearden will probably come into. I mean, I know they sort of juggled at times. Andrew McCulloch played there, even Katoni Staggs. At times, did they shove him in the house for a little bit?
Yeah, he played six there for the
so they've got a few options, but you'd imagine you'd probably put Tom Dearden there. You'd put a recognised half there, wouldn't you?
You'll give Dearden a chance. Yeah. And I think the most impressive thing about the start of the season for the Broncos has been they've found their identity.
Yeah.
And obviously, when Seibold went up there last year, you know, a lot of balls in the air trying to find out what they did best, and they played with a lot of width, and it didn't work for him. And he's obviously realised over the time that they're just a powerful side, and they're just, if they're playing through the middle, they're going to be hard to be stopped. And on the back of that, you know, when you've got halves that like to run, like Milford,
he's just as
MG said before, I mean, some of these guys are taking their game to another level, and that's because he doesn't have to, you know, to worry about where the side is, who's going to do the kicking. And even when Croft went off after about 15 minutes last night, he was happy to fall back in that role because he's playing with so much confidence, but also he knows that he doesn't need to put on all these big set pieces. They're not working to certain parts of the field, you know, to put on plays that he needs to be in the right position for. It's just the path of least resistance at the moment for the Broncos, and ooh, it's like going to take.
Oh, what'd you say then?
I like it.
Come on, writing that down. Path of what?
Least resistance.
Far out.
It's going to take a good side to get.
You're not just handsome. You're clever.
Actually,
good to watch the Broncos.
On Thursday night, we were asked if we had to self isolate. You had to be in the room with one Triple M crew member. Who would you least like to be with? And MG actually said you.
Yes.
He said because you're too good at everything, too talented and too good looking. He said you'd crush your self-esteem. Is that what you said, MG?
That's exactly what I said. I said I couldn't look at him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not punch myself in the chops.
Yeah,
why isn't that me? Look at him. He was just perfect.
That is so good. There's a lot of things we're going to talk about Latrell Mitchell, I think, as we go on this afternoon. But he's come to South Sydney, and he's kind of brought a soap opera with him. Not entirely of his own making, I wouldn't have thought. But certainly there's so much talk surrounding him about what he's doing on the field and off the field. Let's just first of all concentrate on the field. He's copped quite a hammering for his performance. Now, he's come there as a fullback. He played, 55, 56 minutes last week. Again, was moved into the centres last night. Phil Gould had this to say about Latrell Mitchell.
I'm worried about Latrell and his football. Unless he is mentored in the right way by the right people through this period, it could all come unravelling for him over the next 18 months. He's not ready to play NRL football the way he is right at the moment, and certainly not to play that position. You know, whatever people tolerate what Latrell is doing now, Latrell will keep doing what Latrell is doing now. Someone in his life has got to pull him into line.
MG, what do you make of that?
Heavy words from Super Coach. At the moment in this, you know, in this uncertain and challenging times that are unprecedented, I'm almost loath to lay into anyone in the NRL because they're bravely playing on for our satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of take that card away from us in the media for
you're a lone soldier in that pursuit. Everybody else is
I know. Look, Latrell's miss wife or girlfriend is heavily pregnant. He took her up to Taree to be away, and all of a sudden people are laying into him for that. I'll call a spade a shovel if I have to, and I really will. I know from a rugby league player at the moment, I don't know if I'd be playing rugby league at the moment if I was in their situation. The Warriors are the most brave active men, bunch of men that I can think of. I don't know if I'd be doing what the Warriors are doing right now if I was in the roles reversed and I'm languishing in New Zealand with my family back here, my three young kids.
Yep.
I don't know if I'd be doing the same thing. So you've got to take a little bit of that out of the equation and be a little bit more. What's the word?
We'll ask Ryan.
I think we've got to be careful what we say about these players who are actually playing for our enjoyment, and they're bending over backwards. Yeah, they're getting paid, and they're getting paid handsomely. But in these uncertain times, which is pandemic, I've never been involved in a pandemic before, let alone play rugby league in one. So a lot is going on behind closed doors that these players need to be patted on the back for. But I don't see many pats being given to the players.
Look, let's remove Latrell from the situation at the moment, Tony, if we can, and just talk about the role of a fullback, which the bar was set really high by Billy Slater probably 10 or 15 years ago, okay? Now, since that bar's been maintained, that standard, by Tedesco, Trbojevic, RTS, Ponga.
Yep.
We got a whole lot of really good ones. And so if you're going to play in that position, you're going to be compared not just to Billy, but to the current players that are doing a fantastic job, you know? And Tedesco is probably the best player in the game at the moment. So what do you need to be? Okay, well, you need to be probably the fittest player in the club. Yep. You none of them carry any body fat. Yep. You need to have great combinations with, you know, a lot of different attacking people on the field because you're pretty much involved in every play. You've got to be really diligent about your positional play because you're either, you know, doing lots of video on the opposition where they kick or whatever. You're just that guy doing a lot of extra work. It's almost like a personality profile to be a fullback these days. You've got to be that guy. Now, if you're not that guy and you're not ready to be that guy, well, then you probably shouldn't play in that position. It's not for everyone being a fullback. And I just think at this stage of Latrell's career, what is he, 21, 22 years old?
Yep.
Now, if you go back and remember GI, and I know that, you know, they probably get sick of comparing, but these two guys have some similarities. GI came out of the Melbourne system. Yeah, and while he was in that Melbourne system, he learned work ethic and he just took his game to another level. Now, if he hadn't have been in that system, GI might have been a guy that played every 3 or 4 weeks but didn't. We didn't get the consistent guy at South Sydney that took him on to win the premiership and captain and play every week, and that GI that we all got to know. Now, that was a decision at some point in GI's career that he had to make and say, you know what, I understand that the size and the ability that I've been given is going to get me so far, but what's going to get me to that next point is a work ethic. And the decision that I make consciously, that we all do as professional athletes, MG, it happens for some at young, it happens for some in their 20s, and some people probably retire and go, gee, I wish I had worked harder. But until Latrell, and he's the only one, and Gus probably said it there in relation to people around him, until he understands what he needs to do to, one, play in that position, and two, take his game to the next level, I think he needs to play in the centres.
But does he have the ability to be a fullback? Because
absolutely.
Even though he played there as a junior, he hasn't played there for 3 or 4 years. And surely 2 games, you can't expect him to all of a sudden be a...
It's not about how many games. It's the attitude he's going about with his footy that everyone's criticising at the moment. When you watch him carry himself around the field, yep, it's not... I don't think it's a fitness thing. I think he's a little bit underdone. Wrong. It's a decision he needs to make and say, you know what, I'm ready to take on that role for South Sydney because... If he doesn't take on that role for South Sydney, that's okay. They've got another guy there in Alex Johnson that can come on and do a pretty good job. And he's a fantastic centre. And if you look at what Katoni Staggs did for Brisbane the other night, you put Katoni Staggs at the back and he probably wouldn't have the same sort of impact as a guy like RTS either. They're explosive players that only get a couple of opportunities and need to make the most of them. And that's what Latrell's been good at. And he was great at the Roosters and he had some quality players around him there as well. So I just think it's a mindset and he just needs to make that decision when he's ready.
Right, we'll watch that as it unfolds across this season. The Cowboys beat the Bulldogs 24-16.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Mark Guy and Tony Squires with you, and what a great pleasure now to have a guest to have a chat with. The Cowboys 24-16 winners over the Doggies, and Scott Drinkwater, the boy from Terrigal Sharks. He's a player of the tournament in the nines this year and has taken that form into the first couple of rounds. He joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hey.
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. I'm not sure about that phone connection. Congratulations on the win, though.
Yeah, thank you. It was good to get our season off and rolling with the 2 points, needed it.
And talk us through, just quick, we've spoken before and everybody's talking about playing this game on and having the empty stadiums. What was the feeling like? Obviously, you opened your stadium last week, huge crowd in, and you followed up with playing behind closed doors. What was the feeling like running out?
It was a little bit strange. When the game was like going 7%, you don't really realise there's no crowds there. It's only in a stoppage of play, so... It was a little bit strange, but now I'm just happy that we're going to get the opportunity to still play footy, you know, and so I have to go out and train for pre-season again.
Yeah. Scotty, how does a Central Coast boy from Terrigal, your dad Grant's from Penrith, I know him pretty well, good mates with my brother-in-law Brandy, how did you get from Terrigal to the Storm to the Cowboys, mate? Didn't like that question?
No, you really insulted him. There he is, he's back.
Oh, no, you just cut out for a second, brother.
Yeah, I heard you. Yes, so, played the Australian school ball this side, and then that's when I had the Storm contact myself, and I had a few Sydney clubs after me, but for some reason I decided to move out of home and move to Melbourne. That's how that went about. So finished school and went straight down to Melbourne the next day. So
Wow. That's
where I went from Togo to Melbourne, yeah.
Great move.
Hey, Scott, it's Emma Lawrence. I know we saw you play a bit of fullback at the Storm and you're playing six alongside Michael Morgan. I know the answer will be you just want to be in the 17 somewhere, but how are you finding it in the halves and what is your preferred position?
I'm loving it back in the halves. I grew up playing in the halves, so that is my preferred position. I moved to fullback 2 years ago when I was in Melbourne. I think only because the Queensland Cup team I was playing for, we had Brody Croft and Billy Walters in the halves, and they didn't have a fullback, so I got the opportunity to go back and play there. And I guess I went pretty well there, and Melbourne saw me as a fullback then. So that was 2 years at fullback, and then come up to the Cowboys, I went and played fullback. But I do like playing in the halves a lot more. I like being on the ball and creating opportunities from outside men, so I do enjoy being back in the halves.
Got a pretty good, some pretty good combinations there as well. You mentioned Val, but with Michael Morgan and the number 13, Jason Taumalolo, what did you make of his performance the other night?
Yeah, that's just a stock standard performance from Jason. I was expecting a little bit more, to be honest.
What's it like, though? I mean, having him on the field, you've been in some good systems. They spoke about, the Melbourne Storm. And what's it like being around a guy like that? Is he have a big influence at training and on game day? I mean, is he a guy you follow around the park?
He does have a big influence. He's just a big kid. He's just a big, little kid, really. He just loves his video games and that. So he's pretty childish in that way. But, covering game day, we're in the field. And I guess if you need someone to punch the line and you look for Big Jace to run the ball, and he's always looking forward to have a run too. So he's energetic on the field and he likes to be busy. So it's pretty handy to have a weapon like him out there.
We're talking to Scott Drinkwater from the Cowboys, 24-16 winners over the Doggies. I guess it's the new normal now, isn't it? But for you in this round, you've had to fly in and fly out on the same day. How's that?
For me, I was all right. Playing 20s and a lot of Q Cup, you do that quite a bit. So for me, I didn't mind it. We got to get home and sleep in our own bed after the game and wake up in Townsville and didn't have to travel the next day. So that was pretty handy, I guess. Might be a little bit strange for the guys who have been playing consistent NRL for a lot of the years now. So wasn't too bad. The only probably a bad thing was that we got to ANZ at 4 o'clock and didn't play till, I think, 8. So that was a little bit drag on. But staff, did a good job splitting up the day for us.
Josh Maguire seemed to make a massive difference to your side, and he really got under the skin of those Bulldogs players. He was, putting elbows in their faces and that sort of thing. Is he like that at training too? Does he just get stuck into you guys and a bit of a pest?
Yeah, he's pretty full on at training. He certainly trains the way he plays, and I guess he likes to go off a couple of the young kids in the forwards and try and toughen them up a little bit and show them what it's like. I guess that's probably how, back in the day when he was a young kid at Broncos, a couple of those older forwards probably got stuck in him. So he's just, carrying on that trend to our younger forwards. But, it's good. He's an aggressive player and he's a workhorse in the middle and not much gets past him. So it's good to have, a forward like him back in our team.
We've all had our say on the coronavirus and the effect it's having on everybody. And what about as a player involved in this? I think in the whole world of sport, only the NRL, the AFL and the A-League are the only major competitions that are still playing. What's the chat amongst you players about what's going on at the moment, in not just in Australia, but in the world?
It's obviously pretty devastating and a bit, surreal that we're in this situation. I'm not too sure how to take it. I guess in Townsville, I don't know if there's any cases at the moment up here, so I guess it's not as big up here as what it would be in Sydney and stuff, but it's a bit surreal, countries have closed down. I've got my older brother in France who's in lockdown for 15 days, so it's a bit weird for all those guys over there, but as I said, it's a bit surreal and I don't really know how to take it.
Yeah, well, no cases at the Townsville. Maybe the NRL will come to you, the competition. That may be the future of our competition. Scott Drinkwater, congratulations on the season so far. And thanks so much for having a chat. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Scott Drinkwater.
Can play, eh?
Quick, yeah, he's great a good addition. Up, they were so great much better this week than they were last week, weren't they? Everybody's tipping them and, you know, they do look the goods. Mm-hmm. Plenty to come, and I should mention that every time we do have an interview, it's all thanks to Celebrations. We're closer than you think. It's the Saturday Scrum.
Yeah.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
The Saturday Scrum, plenty to get to in the next couple of hours. Stirlo will join us at 2 o'clock. Mark Geyer is with us as we speak. And a bit of breaking news. We mentioned earlier about the crowds that gathered on Bondi Beach yesterday in a very hot Sydney day. It apparently, and this is breaking news, Em, they're closing Bondi Beach down.
They're going to close Bondi Beach, yes, which makes sense given, as we spoke about earlier, there were hundreds of people there yesterday. And I guess if the government is doing the, you know, having only in 100 square metres, only 25 people and making restrictions around how many people you can have in one area, it makes complete sense that they do that.
Can you close the ocean? I'm not sure whether you can close it down.
Well, it won't. Some people will still go. You can't stop anyone from going, but it will limit the amount of people that go.
What do you mean they've closed the beach so they're not putting the flags out?
And I think you're not allowed to. This is a breaking story, so we haven't all the
details.
They're letting the sharks in. I mean, how are they closing the beach?
I'm not sure exactly how. Over the next couple of hours, we'll work out exactly what the story is there for those people who are listening from Sydney. All right, it's time to play a little game.
Ladies and gentlemen.
3 in 5. Oh, I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 in 5.
1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 in 5.
All right, very simple operation. You know it. The questions are easy. The answers are quite easy. It's just getting them into your head and out of your mouth in the 5 seconds that have been allotted to you. 3 answers is what I require for each of these questions. As I look at it, in fact, there's a couple you may struggle. I'll start with you, Mark Geyer, since it's your first show of the year. Yes. We're talking, obviously, about the coronavirus. Can you name 3 global disaster movies?
King Kong.
King Kong. King Kong's nice.
No, okay. I was thinking of the other one. The other big monster from in Japan. What's your name?
Godzilla. Yes. Now, I'm going to give you 2 then. Contagion, of course, that's an epidemic one as well. Day After Tomorrow is climate change movie, Deep Impact. Independence Day, Armageddon, I would have given you points for each of those.
I think the ticking clock just had me rattled. Yes,
that's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. You can ask. I could have asked you the names of your children. You probably would have struggled just as much.
Yeah. Please tell me.
Ticking clock or no ticking clock? Yes, I was only looking for 3 answers. All right. We'll stay with the coronavirus, and I'm going to go to you, Ryan Girdler. Name the 3 countries with the most cases of coronavirus.
That would now be Italy, China, and France.
Italy, China, and Spain are the 3.
Okay, so I got 2.
You got 2.
Okay.
Well done. And Emma Lawrence, this has got nothing to do with coronavirus. Mark Geyer sits there. You look up at him. Could you name 3 clubs Mark Geyer played for?
Penrith, Western Reds, and Balmain.
Bang, bang, bang. You are the winner. Congratulations. 3 in 5 once more. Reedy joins us next at Saturday Scrum.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream, steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.